National Assisted Living Week, and we're going to be talking about what assisted living is and what people should think about if they are pondering it as a possibility, either for themselves or for a loved one. I'll be joined by Nancy Davies and Lisa DiBartolo, who are community outreach coordinators for Library Terrace Assisted Living. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
This is WGTDHD. You're listening to Education Matters, the only weekly broadcast in southeastern Wisconsin devoted exclusively to educational issues. Education Matters is co-hosted by Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, Vice President for Community and Government Relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
And a very special good morning and welcome to this edition of Education Matters here on WGTD Public Radio. I'm your host today, Steve Brown, and I am very pleased to have as my guest Elizabeth Roselis. And she is currently Director of Hispanic Student Programming, which is part of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Gateway Technical College. Elizabeth, welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. It's a pleasure to be here.
Before we begin, one of the things I always like to ask my guest, and this is, you know, a conversation, is to tell a bit about who you are, where you grew up, where you went to high school, college, anything you want to share, and I'll turn the floor over to you.
Oh, that's a great question to start with, right? I was born and raised in Mexico. I came to the United States. Oh, if we do the math, it will be a while ago. But the goal for our family, I have a big family. I have two brothers and two sisters. I am the second one. I have an older sister and the rest of my siblings are younger than me. And we thought that it will be a good idea to come to the U.S. and be with my dad, because my dad used to just go, we used to see him every other year, every year, but just for a few months or not like we didn't spend a lot of time with him because he needed to be here and work. Mm-hmm. So we thought that it would be a good idea for us as a family to be with him and spend more time. And as we gather that, we have that opportunity to do that as a family, we decided to join him and we came. We arrived in Lake County in Illinois, and that's where we started building this new adventure, right? Starting a new foundation, a new lifestyle. Mm-hmm. Not knowing the language, not really understanding the culture too, because that was a new way of learning for us. So learning the language, the culture, the educational system, right? The school system was just it's just completely different the way that I was raised in Mexico. The neighborhood, I mean, everything. I can go on and on, but everything was completely new. New to us, new to me. I remember that my dad said when we started high school, because we started in high school, I graduated from Waukegan High School, and I was coming home with headaches, right? Because learning a new language is not easy, and many people will probably understand. So I remember like thinking, coming home and saying, I'm giving up. No more. I can't do this, because it was just hard, not under finding a good support system and not finding, I mean, starting everything from this very beginning of the foundation with friendships, teachers, I mean, not connecting with teachers. So it was just really hard. And I remember coming home saying, this is it. I'm not going back. And then as I start seeing my parents getting up so early and working so hard, and then I'm thinking, really? I mean, I'm complaining? like, wake up. Like, there's no reason for you to complain.
By the way, how old were you when you came to the U.S.?
I was around 15, right? Okay. 14, 15. And I remember that seeing my family, my dad, and then I thought I need to be inspired by this, right? By having and allowing, having this opportunity. So that's what I did. I started embracing learning in a different way. My perspective changed. The way that I pursue, that I start seeing education was completely different. So I focus on learning English, and it's just a learning adventure and learning opportunity on a daily basis, right? You always learn something new, just sure. Like Spanish in your own, in your first language too, you always learn something.
Now, let me ask you this, and I'm very familiar with Waukegan High School. When I was teaching at Northeastern Illinois University, and we'll talk about NEIU in a moment, but I had a number of students in our graduate school administration program who did their administrative internships there. When you were there at Waukegan High School, one of the questions I always like to ask any guest, I don't care who they are, at what level education they have, was there one teacher you had at Waukegan High School that stands out in your mind as someone who played, either she or he, played a major role in helping you as a student at Waukegan High School?
Well, yeah, that's critical, right? It has to, many probably can relate to that, but one of the teachers that I can remember right now is the Steinberg. Oh my gosh, she was a great support system. She was always making sure that we were learning. She was an ELL teacher, ESL,
mm-hmm.
English as a second language in Waukegan High School. And I remember that she was used to tell me, you're ready to move on to regular classes. And I was just like, no, I'm not ready. She was like, yes, you're ready. You got to trust me. And I remember that. She worked in the behind the scenes process to make sure that I was going into regular classes. And Mr. Fletcher, I remember my math. I'm not a math person, so I remember that math being in regular classes with Mr. Fletcher. He made the classes so easy, so simple to follow. He was a great support system. I think they probably are retired, both of them, right now. But I'm sure a lot of students benefit from their talent and their approachable. They were just great. Like, if I can go on and on telling you all the great things that they did, but they really make you feel like you belong in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You were in the classroom. You were even participating because the way that they engage the class, the way that they make you be inclusive, and it really make a huge difference for me. So yes, I'm very grateful. Wherever they are, thank you. Thank you to Mr. Fletcher and Mrs. Steinberg. Both of them were excellent teachers at Waukegan High School, and I wish them all the best. And I feel that the educational background that they gave me, the little seed that they put in me, helped me move on in with my life and believe in me, because they were believing that I was capable of doing good work. So
sure. And that's always important for, you know, any student at any age. I mentioned a few minutes ago Northeastern Illinois University, where I taught for 23 years. And I didn't even know that that's where you went to school and got your bachelor's and master's. Why don't you talk a bit about, at least briefly, before we get into the job that you have at Gateway as Director of Hispanic Student Programming, but what was it like being at the university? Because you were 18, 19 years old as a freshman. What was it like being at a big university, you know, part of the state university system in Illinois?
Well, I can tell you that Northeastern, when you are a first-generation student and you don't know where you need to go, and I think that Northeastern, since the very beginning when I was doing campus tours, was the place that I felt that I belong. I mean, you probably remember, but it's very diverse. It's mm-hmm. one of the universities that is super diverse. When I was walking from classroom to classroom or just trying to find the library, it just make me feel like this is where I need to be. I never felt that I was like in a very unknown place. I can tell you that even as of now, now that I am a adult, I guess, and I have two daughters and I have some nieces and nephews, I've been saying that that's a great place to go because it really gives you a good foundation. I think that a lot of the instructors, professors have that mentality in mind of being inclusive and the students are their top priority under the circumstances that they work with and all of that, all those challenges. But they are there because they care. Mm-hmm. The big majority of them care about the student's success. And I felt, I can still picture, I remember taking some of the times weekend classes, like on Saturday mornings. And I remember my dad being ready to drop me off and pick me up. I remember taking the transportation, the train. I remember mm-hmm. taking the train and then like two or three buses to get to Northeastern when I was going to some during the week time.
Sure.
So I don't even remember when I was taking the bus that I felt unsafe or a need to, I don't know. I just really feel that it was a good fit for me.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to what are some of the four-year universities that you recommend, I always say, have you thought about going to Northeastern, especially those that are pursuing education, right?
Sure, absolutely. You know, in your role as Director of Hispanic Student Programming, and that's part of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion, if you could just speak briefly about what are some of your overall responsibilities in that position that you've held for a couple of years now?
Well, I have a lot of responsibilities, Ryan. I say we because there's a team with me. Like it's not just me, right? It's a team that had worked intensively even before I was hired, and it continues to work so hard even now that I'm here. But I will say that one of the responsibilities that I have is to bring a lot of awareness, right, about what are some of the needs for our Latino students and what it means to be a Hispanic serving institution, right, an HSI, understanding that the definition of serving not just Latinos, but serving everybody, all our students intentionally, right? So I feel that one of my responsibilities within that is that it's not just about enrolling the students, going to the high schools or going to our community and saying, this is what we do at Gateway and this is what we offer at Gateway. So it's not about just enrolling them, but it's also about making sure that once we have them here, that they know what resources we offer, that they know that we have the tutoring center, for instance, right? When they're struggling with math class or English class or science, who knows what class they might be struggling with, but it might be even introduction to computer, simple classes, but whatever it is that we have a support system in here that can help them navigate those challenges that they are encountering, even if they have a full-time job, a part-time job, or they don't have a job, but they are just parents, and they might be single parents, who knows, whatever the circumstances, right, that they may have, because we all have different challenges, that we sure. are here for them. So it's about not just enrolling them, but retaining them, and then making sure that when they go through that process of being here, that we graduate them successfully, and that they have the skills and the educational foundation to find the job that will give them a better quality life once they're ready to move on from us. If it's mm-hmm. about transferring to a four-year university, no matter what it is or where it is, right, that they can continue to pursue a better quality life. I think that's what we should be focusing, removing those barriers if we have any, right, to make sure that we identify them. And I think that also understanding that the student needs to feel welcome inside and outside the classroom, not just outside in the library or in the hallway cafeteria. No, it has to be a teamwork effort from everybody, instructors, faculty, staff. I mean, everybody has to be on the same page in order to welcome everybody, no matter where they see our students.
Sure. You mentioned that Gateway is a Hispanic-serving institution, an HSI, and that's something that's granted by the U.S. Department of Education. I noticed in an email that you sent out in July on the 29th, and by the way, we're taping this program on the 26th of August, and it's going to be airing on September 7th, the Saturday before National Hispanic Serving Institution Week. And we'll talk about that in a few minutes. But what is an HSI as granted by the U.S. Department of Education? Why is it important? Why is it something that that is important to everyone, regardless of who they are and what their backgrounds might be? I know that in your email you said that Gateway has a full-time enrollment of 26.5% of the students at Gateway are Latino students. Why is this important, and how can it best serve everyone, particularly our Hispanic students?
Yes, I thank you for reading my email. Yes, it has some background information in there. And it's good that you mentioned that the Hispanic Serving Institution is recognized by the department, the U.S. Department of Education, right? So I'm glad that you are saying that, because some people may say that or think that it's from a federal, it's from federal state or from, you know, there's so many different thoughts up there that this is an HSI designation, not given by the federal government, not given by the state. It's just the U.S. Department of Education. So I just wanted to touch on that. And yes, according to them, according to the U.S. Department of Education, we are, for the fall, our enrollment is at 26.5. That means that our full-time students, or Latino, Hispanic descent, we are at 26.5, and our goal to be recognized as an HSI was 25. So I think we met the goal and we exceeded the goal, right? Which is exciting news that that our students are responding back to our college, and they're interested in showing interest. So this is just to bring us back or remind us of our responsibility, or this is a significant milestone, right? Because it's reflecting back again, or reminding us that who do we have in our community, right? Who lives here, right? Are we representing the community that we live in? And I think that within our 26.5%, it's given us a reminder that, hello, we have a Latino community in our neighborhood, and are we serving them intentionally. So that's what HSI is all about, right? Serving our community intentionally.
Sure.
I would like to go back to, I don't know if I mentioned this in my email, but Dr. Gina Garcia is a great expert and leader in HSI, and she's the one that is bringing this awareness and all this knowledge and resources for us.
You know, there are over 600 HSI institutions in the United States. A lot of people are not aware of it. And I think by you talking about it, it brings to life that it's something that's very important for Hispanic students. But it's got to have a tremendous impact on the overall institution, and not just Hispanic students, but how people view education, you know, the whole picture of education and who we are there to serve.
Yes. And so I think that I'm glad that you are familiar with Dr. Gina Garcia, and you probably can remember that she talks about a lot about being intentional, right? That enrolling in students is not enough. Like, what are we going to do after? Once we got them on campus, what are our responsibilities? And she talks a lot about servingness, right? She talks about, are we serving our students with care, with intentionality? So she is kind of giving us all this reflection, right? Or inspiration to say, well, you're right, right? It's not just about all the high school students for Heartlake are here and we got them, hoo-hoo, exciting, and then what, right? Mm-hmm. We have to be intentional to make sure that they know where they need to go, that they feel well in the campus, that they feel that they belong, start connecting them with all the resources, that the instructors understand the demographics that we have, right? That they can be intentional and understanding on whatever needs they might have. So we need to recognize that our community is changing, it's growing, we have a very diverse communities in here. And what are we going to do so we can become intentional, so they can not just come here, but they can graduate from our Gatewood Technical College. So intentionality matters, and I feel that that's what we are, a team. There's a team of us that are working on the intentionality, I know that we will talk about the You Belong events, one of the You Belong events that we have done mm-hmm. last couple semesters. That event, for instance, just to give you as an example, is intentional, right? Because we want to make sure that from the very beginning, our students to start classes here, they feel that they matter, that they belong, and that they start connecting our names with faces, and we start approaching them, and they know who we are. So that is just one way, just briefly, about intentionality and how we can make our students, not just our Latino students, because you talk about that too. No, everybody. If we do it with one group, everyone will benefit as well. So this HSI designation is opening to opportunities for funding, right? Sure. And expanding our support services and strengthening our community relations, right? Because we want to make sure that our community partners know what are we doing, right? And how can we serve everybody and being intentional.
Yeah, and I'm just reading some of the research from Dr. Garcia, and she says, in transforming Hispanic-serving institutions for equity and justice, Garcia offers a framework for transforming HSIs into truly Latinx-serving institutions. But she also goes on to say the framework is grounded in critical theories, yet it advances new ways of thinking about how to organize colleges and universities that are actively serving students of color, low-income students, and students from other minoritized backgrounds. And from your perspective and from your experiences, what initial impact do you think Gateway Technical College, which has three major campuses, you know, in Kenosha, Racine, and in Elkhorn, and, you know, other places as well, and online. But what impact is this going to have on Gateway Technical College?
A very positive impact, right? I can tell you, for instance, highlighting just briefly, Latinos Unidos Club. The Latinos Unidos Club is growing, and you can see the students are interested in socializing and connecting and developing these relationships and improving their professional leadership skills. So that is just one example how we are improving, right? Mm-hmm. Yo Puedo College Day is another great event that it's been done probably for about, I could be wrong on the date, but about 9 years probably. So annually, on an annual basis, we have done that Yo Puedo College Day event, and that a main goal is to target high school students, right? So they know what is financial aid, or learn about FAFSA, right? Private scholarships, connect about and learn about the certificates and the programs that we offer. Meet us, the team, who are we? understand that there are opportunities for funding, right? Because maybe they are the first generation, maybe they are DACA and undocumented, which is the other one that we're doing, the Dreamer Scholarship, right? Mm-hmm. This is a scholarship that was a partnership with a foundation to support those students that need that extra support, right? And so we're doing all this, just highlighting those examples, right? That we're doing great work. There's a team effort from the behind the scenes that is working intensively to make sure that our students are understanding that we are here to support them and towards graduation, not just in the middle of the race, but until the end of the race, that we will be here all the way and maybe beyond, because some of them may have already plans for a 4-year.
Right.
And some of them have intentionally expressed that this is where I'm going to go afterwards. And so helping them navigate and find resources at the other 4-year university to ensure that he or she can transfer effectively.
Sure. You mentioned the Dreamer Scholarship Fund, and many of us knew it initially as the Dolores Huerta Scholarship. And, you know, it's just interesting. You're, again, another one of your emails from August 8th that you sent out about the scholarship fund. And it supports undocumented and deferred action for childhood and arrivals, DACA, adult learners, continuing students. You know, I was just talking to someone actually today who's a Hispanic lady who's from Mexico, and her daughter was going to, they drove up to a state university in Michigan, and she was all ready to get enrolled, and they denied her because she hadn't paid all of the money that was promised. And, you know, and so I'm going to be working with her to help her find some places. And I have mentioned Gateway because she's interested in law enforcement. I served in the military. I was involved with, not in law enforcement, but military intelligence and other things. But, you know, these scholarship funds, I know you, it's important that everyone is aware of these funds. And so many of these funds go unused, because a lot of times students of any race, of any background, are not applying for them. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I thank you. Yes. One of the things that we did, Steve, and you probably will highlight my email too, but we created this document where, because of the need, right, for especially DACA and undocumented and many other students, right, who need this funding, we created a document that is called Resources for DACA and Undocumented Students. And we added in there lots of private scholarships. So what it does is that no matter what school you decided to go to, right, this scholarships comes from private institutions and nonprofit institutions. So all our students need to do is look through the site, apply, and we have a list. So we found a great list of resources that can help our students. And what we are planning to do, and we've been brainstorming, and this is about the intentionality that I was mentioning to you earlier, we're planning on doing or targeting like a date for our students, right?
Mm-hmm.
Where we can say, this is going to be a date just to apply for scholarships. Like, this is a day when we can sit down in a computer lab and be intentional and finding these scholarships that are closer to the deadline or closer to whatever requirements they may have that may more likely apply to the big majority. And we're trying to identify that so we can have a great group that can benefit. Because like you said, many of them do not know or maybe don't have the intentionality or applying because they are intimidated within the process, right?
Sure.
Because can be overwhelming. And I remember because I've been there too, right? So I feel that if it's based just on guiding them, because a lot of the times that's what it is. We just need to show them, this is the website that you need to go. This is the deadline. This is the criteria. This is the questions, right? And then give them feedback on the essay or essays that they requested. Some of them may require like a letter of recommendation. Mm-hmm. We can easily be able to find that information for them or make them have available to a letter, right? And sure. Then submit. And it will be just based on submitting. And we're hoping that we can have a designated date or dates for the next upcoming semesters so we could be more intentional when it comes to finding funding.
Sure.
And I just wanted to say that it's also good for us, for a community, to know too that how much doing the homework, right, when it comes to saving, when it comes to tuition, comparing the 4-year versus the 2-year and seeing that investment in there too. Because sometimes we don't have that information with us and we just want to start within the 4-year university right away. But sometimes it's better to start, maybe starting doing a Gateway Technical College for 2 years and then transfer, and you could save already some money in there.
Sure, and students in high school can take courses at Gateway and get college credit.
Yeah,
I started out at Miami-Dade Junior College before I went to the University of Florida. But by the way, if you're just joining us for Education Matters this morning, my guest is Elizabeth Rosiles. She's director of Hispanic Student Programming at Gateway Technical College. You've mentioned it a few times, Elizabeth, about the HSI Institution Week. It starts September 9th. This is airing on September 7th. So this is Saturday when this is airing. On Monday, it's starting across the country. If you could first maybe just talk briefly about what this HSI Serving Institutions Week is all about, and specifically maybe one or two big events that you really want people to know about at Gateway, regardless of which campus it might be on.
Yes, so National Hispanic Servant Institution Week is a week that we would like to celebrate our diverse community, our diverse students' representation when it comes to Hispanic, Latino. And we will start on September 9 on Monday around 10 a.m. with a Facebook Live en Español, so in Spanish. We will be interviewing staff members and students about what it means to be Hispanic or Latino, because my definition can be, or my experience can be, completely different from somebody else. So we want to gather that perspectives from our students' body and from our staff representation. And it will be very, very inspiring and very motivational to see that we are all different, right? And we all have different perspectives. And embracing that, embracing who we are, like that diversity background. And we also will be moving on Tuesday with a panel. The panel will be intentional too, so we could see professionals, faculty members will be part of the panel. Students will be interviewed for the panel as well, so we can get their perspective. And we will talk about best practices, challenges, and opportunities. We talk about Dr. Gina Garcia, so we will be highlighting a lot Dr. Gina Garcia. And when it comes to serviceness, right, when it comes to intentionality, when it comes to care, when it comes to really being intentional in serving our students. And then we will finalize with the trivia contents and we will have a trivia questions about HSI. So it will be very engaging. I highly encourage everyone to participate. Facebook Live will be Facebook Live en Español. So you're welcome to join us.
If someone, and I was going to ask you this at the end, but since you're mentioning it now, what is the website? Where do people need to go on their computer or on their phone or however, whatever apparatus they might be using to actually watch and be engaged in any of these activities?
Yes, thank you for reminding me. So if you are not familiar, I will highly encourage you to visit our www.gtc.edu. When you search in the search box, you can type the, as in letter D, as in Donald, 365, so diversity 365, and it will show you a list of different activities and events we have available for all our students, all our faculty and staff to get engaged, our community to know too. And in our Facebook page, you can find us in Gateway Technical College Facebook page, and we will be there. You will be able to find us live. And the lib guides, for those of you, even if you are part of our community week, there's a group of us, the librarians, kudos to them and thank you to them for all the great work behind the scenes. They have created this beautiful pages in our lib guides. It's in-house in our library, and you can just look for lib guides, and it has great resources about Hispanic Serving Institution, about Hispanic Heritage Month, about DEI, many, many, many great resources that you can find in there, even DACA and undocumented resources will you can find in there too. If you haven't familiarized, I will highly recommend you to look for it.
Okay. You mentioned the trivia contest. It's Wednesday and Thursday. In your email, you note that it's on the Elkhorn campus and the Racine campus. Is it also on the Gateway campus?
Not this one is not in the Kenosha. So,
okay. So what's this trivia contest all about? If I wanted to attend one of them at Elkhorn or at Racine, what would I expect to see and hear?
You will be asked questions about HSI, right? Like,
okay.
For instance, one of the questions is, what is an HSI, right? Mm-hmm. By now you should know, right? Because we kind of talk a little bit about the definition, but one of the questions will be definitely be, what is an HSI? Because I feel that we should know as a Gateway community, what is HSI, and we should be able to speak that we will talk about that, Dr. Gina Garcia, and how much do we know about Dr. Gina Garcia. So it will be a learning interactive session, and I really hope that once we're done with the session, everyone will learn and share the message back with other students and everybody, even with family, because again, it's part of the community, and it's part of who we are now as a Gateway Technical College. This is who we are now, HSI, and we should speak the language now.
Sure.
Moving forward.
Sure. Before I ask you my last question, let me ask you this. As you look out into the future, what HSI activities and programs would you like to see added to what Gateway Technical College is already providing for Hispanic students who are attending Gateway Technical College?
That's a great question, Steve. I would like to say that we are currently working with Excelencia in Education, and you probably are familiar with the great resource and how great Excelencia in Education is in providing us with data and resources and always making us do a good job, right? Doing best practices for our students. So we are working with Excelencia in Education as part of an effort to enhance and be intentional with our Latino students and strengthening our educational excellence, right? So we are at the baby stages now, right? We're creating this foundation, and we're hoping that we will be starting implementing the strategies that will be meaningful, right? That will impact all our campuses at Gateway, mm-hmm. right? For many of you who do not know who's Excelencia in Education, they've been in the field for about 20 years, probably, or more. Maybe I'm telling you the wrong date. But it's a nonprofit organization founded around 2004, if I recall the year correctly. And they are just a great system, great resource system when it comes to enhancing and improving the Latino student success, and making sure that we as colleges and universities are understanding and are doing the intentionality to support them well.
Sure. By the way, in addition to Dr. Garcia, I've heard her speak, but I've also worked with Dr. Carmen Tafoya, and Carmen has been the poet laureate for the state of Texas. I knew her and her late husband, Ernesto Bernal, who was the dean at Northern Arizona University, where I taught in the summers when I lived in the Phoenix area. So I'll send you a link to her work, and it's just extraordinary the work that she does. The last question I always like to ask is, Elizabeth, is there anything that I have not asked you that I should have that you would like to share with our audience?
No, I think that you were very intentional. Your questions, I think that you highlight a very key areas that we would like to start getting out in our community, and I think this platform is just a great way to start. And again, this is just beginning stages, right? We're creating this foundation. This is the beginning of a lot of great work that is coming forward. A big responsibility for us, and it's part of the team effort that it's been here, and it will continue to bring that inspiration forward. Again, thinking about serving our students and being intentional, because we need to represent the community that we live in, right?
Sure.
Otherwise, we will be in big trouble as we move forward in our future. But we need to improve and find those gaps so we could be intentional.
Yeah, and if our audience wants to contact you directly, they can go onto the GTC site and then just look for, how will they locate you on the website?
Yes, they can, well, you know what? You remind me, Steve, that our website is in Spanish now. So if our audience would like to find our website and would like to find a lot of the content in Spanish, you can just find that option up there and translate.
Okay.
They're welcome to email me or call me. My email is rosilezavalae@gtc.edu. Or my phone number, the 262-564-2628. And I'll be happy to connect with our community, with our students, with our audience, and support them the best way I can. If for X, Y reason, I do not have the answer, I'll be happy to connect you with someone that will support you.
Okay, very good. I would like to thank you, Elizabeth Rosiles Zavala, who is the current director of Hispanic Student Programming, which is part of the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion at Gateway Technical College. Thank you for all that you do, everyone on your team. And I think it's great that Gateway is now on HSI. I think that's terrific. And having taught at a number of universities that are HSIs in Texas, the University of Texas, Odessa, Permian Basin, also Texas A&M University, Corpus Christi, I taught, and Northeastern Illinois University is an HSI now, I believe. So thank you so much for all that you do and for everyone on your team.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's an honor to be here.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Racine County needs to double the number of foster homes it currently has. An information session for people interested in becoming foster parents will be held via Zoom Wednesday, September 18th at 5:30. Call 262-638-6595.
I'm Gregory Berg, and I hope that you can join me for Monday's morning show here on WGTD. Monday kicks off National Assisted Living Week, and we're going to be talking about what assisted living is and what people should think about if they are pondering it as a possibility, either for themselves or for a loved one. I'll be joined by Nancy Davies and Lisa DiBartolo, who are community outreach coordinators for Library Terrace Assisted Living. Monday's morning show begins just after 8.
In a world filled with possibilities and wonder, we can always find grace in between the music. Join me, Lily Maselli, host of In Between the Music, and enjoy trivia and music together. For dates and times, visit WGTD.org.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that focuses on the concerns in the Tri-County area. It's hosted by Jane Herring, Marcia Connett, Joan Rory, and Ron Purty. Community Matters also shares its time slot